Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 11 of the Supercoach Big Footy podcast. I am here, as always, with Wayne. Uncle Jisk will not be joining us tonight, but we have a very special guest, Pin Crusher. Wayne, how are you guys?
I'm good. Very good. Penny, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's good
I
to have
a
you.
Lot of
well,
people are looking forward to hearing you speak and getting your views. You're actually a very astute super coach player. How many years have you been playing?
I've been playing for about 12 years. I think it's about 2010 that I first started. It's kind of a funny story because I'm in from New South Wales and I've always been a rugby league person myself. But I've got a couple of mates who are semi-regular posters on the Big Footy Forum, and one of them, VJ Knight, he got me into Supercoach. And it was through actually playing Supercoach that I started to learn to enjoy AFL and got to know all the players.
Oh, okay.
How did you pick the team, which team you were going to follow if you didn't grow up with AFL?
That was something that VJ Knight told me that I had to pick a team. I think that was the following year. I didn't really have anybody that I followed, and I think it was 2011. I think it was when I picked the Hawks to follow, because that was that year I had more Hawks in my Supercoach team than from any other team. So that was how I settled on the Hawks as a team to support.
So are you a passionate Hawthorn supporter now?
No, I'm not really a passionate supporter. I wouldn't say it's not like I don't ever visit the Hawks forum or anything like that, or follow, you know, training sessions or look who's going to be in and out or anything like that. No, I'm more purely the Supercoach side of things. I'll visit any forum on from any team if I'm after some information on who may or may not be playing on a certain week or who might be debuting or who might be injured.
That knowing you a little bit, I reckon you just go purely by the numbers.
I'm a numbers man, definitely. Yeah. I agree with you there.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you said that, you know, you follow footy mostly for Supercoach, whereas the rest of us, you know, born into supporting clubs, we kind of pretend that we follow our clubs, but really it's Supercoach first always.
Yeah, and that's the great thing about the Supercoach forum, because I actually have been onto a number of different club forums over the years when I've been looking for little tidbits of information, and there are some feral people on those boards. And the one thing about Supercoach is that it doesn't matter which club you support, we're all there for a common cause, and that's what makes the Supercoach forum the most enjoyable place to visit on a regular basis.
So getting into the buy results, how did you go, Penny?
Not as well as I would have hoped, because I did have full squads. Like I had a full 18 on all three buy rounds, but unfortunately I didn't score as well as I would have hoped. I did okay without being anything spectacular. I 1874 in round 12, 1906 in round 13, and 1801 in round 14. In round 14, I ended up with 21 playing, but still only scored 1801, because I think three of those players were late ins, like Greg Clark, who was the sub, and MRJ, who was the sub.
And Teagle?
I actually had Teagle on my bench anyway. The way my team was set up that week, I wasn't going to get his score anyway, because I had English and Wits on my ruck line as well. So I wasn't going to be able to get his score regardless. I had Clark, I had McComb. I've still got Gibkus and DeConing, who both underscored this week, unfortunately. And of course, Zach Butters got injured. Jared Witts crapped the bed. I've also got Josh Kelly, who scored 65 this week.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that is unbelievable, considering the form he was in.
Yeah.
So, and my only good choice was with my captaincy, I gave up Sam Walsh's 109 to get Tim English's 110.
Well, you got to take the positives no matter what they are.
That's absolutely right.
And Steve, how'd you go?
I did good. Reasonably happy. I I made up some good ground. Like, obviously, I'm pretty far back. I think start of the buy rounds, I was about 16K, and I'm at about 7 now, making some steady progress, you know, going up 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 every week. I had 20 in the first, 18 in the next, and I believe I had 20 or 21 on the weekend. But, yeah, just a lot of low scores, a lot of rookies, a lot of injury-affected scores. I think I averaged just over 1,900, which I'm pretty happy with. Yeah, I don't know. Team's coming together. But, yeah, look, I can't complain considering where I was. I think it was reasonable. What about yourself, Wayne?
I started the buys in the mid-13,000s. And I think I'd average probably very similar to yourself, about 1,900. I think two of the buys were kind of high 1,800s. And then I had a high 1,900 spot. So I've come down to about 4.5 now, with 8 trades before trades this week. So feel that I'm in a pretty good spot, quite frankly.
I think you are in a good spot with that many trades. I think looking around, you know, obviously JM has reclaimed the throne and he's out, but there's a lot of people on the board with 2 and 3. I mean, I've got 6 and I'm considering holding Butters because I'm just so scared to get down to that 5, and then you're looking at, you know, 3 and 4, and it's really, you know, we got 9 rounds left. I'm starting to shit myself a little bit.
Last year, I thought I had coverage on the bench. I came out of the buys with 4. I originally wanted 6. And I think I came out with 4. And by round 19, I was all out. So the last four or five rounds, I was just floating. And I think I drifted from about 2,500 out to 10,000 in 4 rounds.
Yeah, that sounds like my finish the last year as well. I've got 7 trades at the moment, and I'm like Steve. I'm probably going to hold Butters and see what happens in the next couple of weeks, because I've got the trades that I need to look at this week. I probably don't need to trade him at the moment. But the thing that does concern me is that last year, when he had the same injury, his scores coming back from that injury, which was exactly the same as what he's got now, he scored 51, 94, 76, 96, 47, 85, and 55.
Correct.
So you've got to wonder what his scoring ability is going to be when he does come back. But he is a year older and he has had another preseason under his belt. So he's right, 22 years old. He's coming up to 22 years old. He's right coming into his prime at the moment. So I'm hoping that'll go in his favour.
Well, the other thing, of course, is that you've got to have a bit of faith in what the clubs are saying as far as how far away he is. Now, he's saying he wants to get back in a week. It could be 2, could be 3 weeks. And that's the problem. You've got to, at this stage of the year, with not a lot of trades, you've got to have a lot of faith in what the clubs are putting out to supporters in terms of the length of these injuries. And we've just been burned so many times by 2-week injuries turning into 4 and 5 weeks.
The concern that I have is last year Port were in a very good position. What were they fighting for, like top 2 or something? And they rushed him back last year. This year they are hustling to make the top 8, and he's like one of their most aggressive players, one of their best kicks inside 50. They're going to probably rush him back again. And that's my concern, that they're going to rush him back. They're going to play him in the forward 50. He's like hardly even going to get up the ground. And he's going to start doing that again. That's my concern, that they value him so highly that they're going to rush him back. And on the radio, he said his knee felt pretty good. Like, I would have loved to have just heard, I'm out for 2 weeks, get refreshed, I'll be back, I feel pretty good. But just, like, I am probably going to trade him because the English out tips me over the edge.
Yes.
But I would love to hold. And I think if English wasn't out, I reckon I would have held 100%. But English out, I just don't want to play that rookie. I think I've got an opportunity. I'm lucky. Look, the rest of my team's crap, but I've got the goey at M9 or F7. Sorry, at F7 at the moment. I don't have the link at the moment. So with the goey sitting in F7, I can cover English and go full primo this week, basically. So that's my advantage this week. If everyone's going to be playing a rookie and I've got the goey who, after all this crap that's gone on, there's every chance he comes out with a bloody 120 just to shut people up. So that's why I just think I'm going to trade him and just try and gain some ground. But, you know, if you have Butters, if you have English, if you have Proust, you're in a lot of trouble this week. It's just very bad timing, you know. Everyone's traded through the buys close to full primo or full primo, and then all of a sudden, bang, bang, bang.
There was a number put out the other day from Supercoach Data, which had 20% of the top 5,000 teams had both Proust and Butters. Now, that's not factoring in English.
Most would have English by now, I would imagine.
Yeah. I reckon that's 80% have English, maybe higher.
So there's going to be a high percentage of teams that are going to be fielding one or two rookies this week.
I'll be one of those.
Not going to burn trades for one or 2 weeks. So we're going to see a lot of rookies on field. And so before we rush out and start trading, I guess we've just got to have a bit of a consideration for what the rest of the top 5,000 are going to be doing. And I think they're going to be sitting on rookies for a week.
The thing is as well, if you have a think about which rookies teams have in their forward line, you got Rioli, who was a sub last week. If I remember correctly, Richmond didn't cop any injuries, so he's going to either be the sub again or he's probably going to play VFL. I don't think he's coming in.
Cochin's
out. I guess they'll bring a mid in, though. Yeah. I reckon they'll bring a big-bodied mid in. Look, I think Rioli and Clark are just interchangeable for that role. So if one plays, I don't think the other plays. So a lot of people have both of them. Some have one of them. And then a lot are stuck with Hamilton, like me, who is probably not going to get a game anytime soon. So I reckon there's going to be a few donuts floating around and in top teams, like, you know, top few thousand. I reckon there'll be some teams fielding 21.
Yeah.
And I may very well be one of those this week. My trade decision is going to be entirely on teams being named this week. I may very well. At the moment, I have English, Wits and Tickle on my ruck line. And I've got to make a decision on whether I trade for another ruck and bring English forward, or whether I just cop the donut and proceed with my original trade plans, which was to trade out De Koning and bring in for Parnell and then bring in Mills into my midfield. I'm considering Darcy. I'm not going to consider Cameron or English, because at this stage of the year, with the number of trades that we have left, if you're bringing somebody in, you've got to assume they're going to be a keeper. And I'm not sure that either English or Cameron are going to score well enough to be keepers when Gorn and Grundy come back.
So you said English. Sorry, you meant Jackson. Jackson.
No,
that's fine. That makes total sense. Look, the thing with Grundy, I haven't seen the Pies injury report today. I'm not sure if it came out today or yesterday.
Yeah, last week, they're still saying 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah. So that's 4 to 5 weeks to be available.
Yeah.
Then he's going to play at least one or two in the VFL. That pretty much gets you to what, round 21 or something, round 22. Yeah. If we ain't making finals, Grundy's not playing. If we are in finals, Grundy may return, say, round 21, 22, 23, likely, you know, 23 or 22. So, I don't know. I was originally thinking, pencil him out, you know, going to trade Cameron, but it's a big risk to take to rush him back when Cameron's doing fine. And even, like, Cox is playing well in the ruck. Like obviously, Grundy's Grundy. He gets his 20-plus touches, but I don't know. It's just working at the moment. Like, we're playing some decent footy.
Yep.
And they both offer more marks than Grundy. Grundy's not a big marker. And I don't know, this year, marks are, I don't know, it just seems like intercept marks are just dominating.
I'll put up my side. I don't know where it is. Now.
So are you full primo, you know, excluding injuries, Penny?
Pretty much. It depends on what you consider to be full primo. So I've got Kitty Coleman at D6. I've got my mids. I'll go quickly go through my team. I've got in my defence, I've got Cicely, Hewitt, Doherty, Crisp, Short, and Coleman with De Koning and Gibkus on the bench. And one of those will be going this week for Parnell, and the other one will go next week for D'Ambrosio, assuming he's named and doesn't injure himself this week. Mids, I've got Oliver, Neil, Kelly, McRae, Walsh, Cripps, Cornelio, and Tom Green with McComb, Clark, and Owens on the bench. I've got English and Witts in the ruck with Teakle on the bench. And then my forwards are Dunkley, Brody, Treloar, Butters, Rosie, and Rankine at the moment at F6. He would basically be my forward cover if I proceed with my trades this week to bring in a ruck to cover for English, whether that be Darcy, because then English would go back to the forward line and Rankine would be my essentially an F7.
That's a pretty handy cover. When did you grab Rankine? Because I know he was super cheap and he's in some ripper form. Right? He's averaging like close to 100 in the last five rounds or something like that, right?
Yeah, I got him in round 11. He scored 88, 101 and 102 in the 3 weeks that I've had him.
Yeah, beautiful. What'd you pick him up for? Like sub 300K or around then?
311.
Yeah, perfect.
He's still just under, I think he's just under or just over 400.
Yeah, he's 411, 500 at the moment.
So,
yeah, and you said you had seven trades left.
Yes.
And so what, I guess, but do you want to open up the def defense forward swing with Coleman? Is that like an aim of yours?
Not necessarily, no, because I'm going to trade out De Koning this week. De Koning and Gibkus both have BEs that they're unlikely to reach this week. And I would have probably traded both of them out in recent weeks if I didn't have other pressing issues. But De Koning's got a BE of 87 this week and Gibkus has got 75. And I mean, they're both reachable, but probably unlikely given recent form. So I'm trading De Koning this week, which will get rid of one of those defense forward links. He'll become Parnell. I've got seven trades. I've got 160,000 in the bank. So if I trade De Koning to Parnell, I have 389,000 in the bank. Then that means I could trade somebody like McComb, who's probably every chance to get dropped this week with the Dogs likely ins. I can trade him using some DPP magic to get somebody like Sean Darcy into the ruck and move Tim English back to the forward line.
You got some good dollars sitting on your bench.
At the moment, I do. Yeah. Especially in defence. I've got De Koning at D7 and Gibkus at D8 at the moment.
Gee, that's with seven trades. That's a very good position to be in.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of coaches in your position.
So, well, like I said, I'll be definitely using two trades this week. It'll be pending team names. If the team lineups determine that whichever way I go, I'm going to get a donut. I probably won't bring in Darcy this week. I'll probably bring in Mills into my midfield and swing Cornelio back forward. But it depends on. I've got to weigh up the risk reward with Darcy because after the bye last year, he averaged 130, but he's put together with rubber bands. That's the big problem with him.
So you have seven trades after the two trades you do this week?
No, I've got seven trades at the moment. So I'll have five trades after this week.
Yeah, but still quite a strong bench.
Yeah, not too bad. I've still got in my mids, I've got McComb, Clark and Owens. I can't see Owens probably getting a game anytime soon, but they do seem to rate him pretty highly.
He's out for another week with a concussion.
Yeah. Yeah, but obviously they've got Teakle's obviously gone for the year. He's just going to be a swing. My forward bench at the moment is the weakest, but that'll improve this week if I was to swing whichever way I go with my trades this week. If I keep Butters, then Rankine becomes F7. So I've got some decent bench cover there.
Yeah, that's handy. I wish I had money. I just look back at a couple of trade decisions. It's hard to that's another reason why I'm not that keen to trade Butters, even though I think I should, is because I've only got 10K in the bank. So I've got to grab somebody cheap. Like a lot of people who have, say, 100K or so are turning him into Bont. And that's like, that appeals so much. Like, you know, shit, like maybe people would have done that even if Butters, you know, wasn't injured. Like, obviously he was playing good the other day, but, you know, that's kind of a luxury trade that people were thinking of doing even without the injury. So something like that is fine, but yeah, that's the thing. It's important. It's not really just trades.
But it's not really a luxury trade. I mean, Butters has had two head knocks in the last, or sorry, two big knocks in the last 3 weeks. The guy's just an injury waiting to happen. And if you hold him, it's likely to happen in the finals or when you run out of trades.
I think he's got a, as much as I love him, and I reckon, you know, next year he'll be a decent price, and I think he's only going to get better. I think I've got to have a year away from Butters. I just, maybe he needs to put on a little bit more size. He's just, the way he plays, it's a bit too reckless for me. Like, I,
he's a kamikaze.
He gets injured too often.
Yeah, it's not fun. Like, every time he goes to get the ball, it's like, oh, he's going to get like a contested loose ball get for like 10 points, or he's going to get KO'd or bust his cheekbone.
Yeah. It's the same to some degree with Heaney. Heaney's always likely to do an ankle. Now, I don't know whether that's a bias of mine, but he does have a pretty strong injury history. And I'm just not going to bring him in. I could go Butters to Heaney quite easily. In fact, I'll make 20 grand out of it. But I'm not prepared to do it.
Whatever, consider a left field selection. Any consideration for Archie Perkins?
Well, nah. it's
he got a bit of midfield time on the weekend with Parrish out. I think he's going to lose it again. I like
Seymour Skinner's point of view on this. He doesn't choose players outside of rookies unless they've played 50 games.
Yeah, fair enough.
And I tend to like that as a philosophy.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if he's rigid on it, but I don't mind it because after 50 games, you start to get a bit of consistency. Before that, you just get a roller coaster ride.
I actually agree with him there quite strongly because I look at I don't actually look at the number of games, but I look at the age profile of players when they generally break out. I mean, Piggy Oliver and Fife were exceptions because they both broke out pretty much in their second year, as did Bond. But most players normally break out after their third or fourth preseason. Normally around about the age of 21 and a half, 22 is when they really hit their prime. So Josh Kelly was an example of that. I strongly agree with him there.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. I've got McCartan sitting at F6. Now, the view was to swing McCartan to Gawn when Gawn becomes available again, and then swing whether it be English or Darcy back into my forward lines at that point in time. Now, I could go quite easily. I could go McCartan to Rankin. I've got the funds there to do it this week. I could go McCartan to Jackson quite easily. But I'm burning a trade. And I did the trade. I actually did the trade to Rankin, but I've reversed it on the basis that the trade is probably worth more to me than what the differential is between McCartan's normal scoring and what I'd get out of Rankin. What's your thoughts?
I probably wouldn't be bringing in Rankin at his price now. I think the boat has probably sailed on that. I've got to give VJ Knight credit for suggesting Rankin. I got him at 311. He got him at 255. I think Rankin is something certainly clicked with him, but he's still playing the forward role. He's playing up the ground a little bit more, but he's not playing as a pure mid. If he was getting regular midfield time, then I think it would be a completely different story. But I think as much as his scores have been consistent in recent weeks, I think there's still a chance that there could be the odd down game, especially if Gold Coast were getting pumped. I think there's more upside in Jackson than Rankin at this point in time. But it's just Jackson has the issue of Gawn coming back at some stage in the next few weeks, which will probably affect his scoring. I think Jackson will probably score well in the next few weeks because he seems to be able to get around the ground pretty well. But I'm not sure how he's going to go come Supercoach finals time.
Well, McCartan, if you push to one side the 59 that he got last week, he's actually been scoring kind of 80 to 85.
Yeah, every score in the last 5 weeks prior to that was between 75 and 95.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm quite happy to sit him there at F6. The other player that came up today, which was interesting considering he's not even in the North Melbourne side, is Taron Thomas. Taron Thomas at 311,000.
I'd want to see a couple of decent games with Taron Thomas first. I actually had Taron Thomas in my pre-season team. On the back of his finish to last year, I'm with Steve there. There's no way I'd touch him at the moment. There's something not right there with him. He should be in the real breakout kind of area right now with his game and age profile, and it's just not happening for him. He's 22 years old. How many games has he played? He's going to play 56 games, and he's struggling to get a game in the senior team for the side that's getting pumped every week and coming stone motherless last.
I reckon he's a confidence player as well, and he's had a few injuries, been interrupted. I think it'll be a very, very handy price if this continues next year, and I'll be happy with that, and I'll definitely take a look at him if all reports are coming out that he's actually going to get that midfield time. But I would not touch him with a 10-foot pole this year.
Okay. I agree.
You don't think the timeout may have been a bit of a jolt?
I'd need to see a couple of decent games from him before I could make that decision.
Yeah, no way, like just blind. No chance. I mean, even like, you look at somebody like Rankin who we were talking about, like he had that. Was that an injury affected score, or was that just like a shocking game when he scored like sub 10?
Just a shocking game.
Yeah, and then after that, he scored a 90. And then kind of it looked like, he was getting further up the ground and he seemed a bit, more invested and interested and stuff. So I'd say at least you want to see like one game and some, spark, or, maybe he comes back and then he gets a shitload of midfield time and then you say, oh, sweet, that makes sense. But nah, no way. Not for me. The thing with Gawn, I have Jackson. So, I'm fairly happy. Now, the thing with Gawn is Melbourne will rush Gawn back if they lose more games. If they beat the Lions on Thursday night, I reckon, and who they got next? I think they've got a pretty tough fixture. Oh, and after that, they got Adelaide. If they beat the Lions, then you'd assume they'll beat Adelaide. Then they're right back on track going for the top two. I don't think Gordon's getting rushed back.
No, I think he's probably more on the 4-week side.
I reckon it could be more. And even if he comes back, I can see him spending 80, 70% time forward.
Correct.
With Jackson doing the vast majority of the rucking. Yeah. You've got to understand, this guy is 110 kegs and bloody 210 centimetres or whatever he is. And all he does is jump. And, if that... It's a bad injury. Like, obviously, it's not bad enough for him to have surgery. But if he had surgery, he probably would have missed like 10 weeks. And then they'll be worried about finals. So we don't really know the extent of the injury. But, yeah, look, I personally think Melbourne's going to bounce back. I think they're going to beat the Lions in a close game. And then I reckon, you give them a win against Adelaide and then they're back on track, and then Gawn can sit back and say, all right, I'm going to get my ankle, right. And we can look at that, four, five, 6 weeks. And but if they lose to the Lions, I reckon Gawn will be back real quick. Jumped up and there real quick.
My point of view is last year they kind of managed his minutes leading into the last half a dozen games. This year I think they'll bring him back probably, what are we now, round 15, probably round 18. But they'll want to get four tough games into Gorn before they go into the finals. They won't be managing his minutes. They'll need a lot of game time into him. So if you can trade him back in for the last three or four games of the year, I think you're probably going to see the best of Gorn. And depending on how teams are going with trades, you'll have a bit of a POD, because I think he's sitting at about 25% ownership at the moment. Now, 25% ownership and probably 15% plus of those are ghost ships.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of those will be abandoned sides, just you know, held in from the start and autofill sides.
Yeah.
Look, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, you know, with these players, especially if people trading in somebody like Jackson. Like, I'm pretty sure Jackson's ownership's like yeah, he's in 13% of sides, and that's without people trading him in, you know, after the Gorn news. So that's pretty high. You know, that might I don't know how many people are trading him in, but that might get, you know, closer to 20, and that's quite a lot.
He's over 5,000 trade-ins so far this week.
5,000?
Yeah.
So 15-16%, whatever it is.
So you'll have a bit of it. You'll have a bit of an advantage if you've got the trades in your kit bag that you can trade Gorn back in for those last four games of the year.
Yeah, let's see if we have any trades, because the way the
carnage is trending. I'm discounting you, Steve. I'm discounting you out of this conversation, right? You'll be with Judd Magic in the No Trades Club.
Nah, I'm a changed man. I am reformed. Last year, I'm pretty sure I had two trades left in the final round of the year. I'm striving for that again. I've had my time in the sun, and I want trades. But look, all right. Anyway, Wayne, you want to go over your side?
Yes. Yep. Okay. Just getting into my team. Just starting from the back. Yes, I've held Whitfield for the whole season. It's killed me, but hopefully I can start to see a bit of benefit there. So my back line is Sinclair, Stewart, who I bought in last week. Thank you, Stewart, for 95. Dawson, Hewitt, Short, Whitfield. I've got Weir on the bench. Would love to get Parnell, but Weir's got another $50,000 to make over the next couple of weeks. So it's not worth me burning a trade when I know Weir has got great job security and another $50,000 to make. So that stays as it is. Midfield is pretty much like a lot of people, you know, Oliver Neal, Laird, Miller, McRae, Brayshaw, Cripps, Merritt. Merritt's a bloody asshole. Wish he would start running. He's just ambling. He's doing a Matt Crouch out there at the moment. Miller, great thing about the Gold Coast is they've got a fantastic run home. The last four or five matches are really favourable from a fixture perspective. So I'm hopeful both Miller and Witts can have some big scores in the back end of the season. My rucks at the moment, well, normally my rucks would be Witts and English, but at the moment I've got Witts and Cameron with English sitting on the bench. And I did trade Butters to Bontempelli. Had the funds to do that by downgrading Brody to Himmelberg a couple of weeks ago. So that gave me the $138,000, which we discussed, Steve. And that funded my upgrade of Butters to Bontempelli. So McCartan sits there at F6. My bench is weak. I've got obviously MRJ. I've got Owens. I've still got Pedlar.
That's all right. I've got Pedlar too. You're not on your own there.
I don't think he's going to play. I don't know.
What's he doing? Why do they keep playing him in the forward line? Why don't they give him a crack in the middle?
Because when he's playing in the midfield at the moment in the snaffle, he's not really burning it in the midfield. He's probably performing better in the forward line which is not a great sign from a super coach perspective either. Yeah, I've still got McDonald. I'm hoping he's going to do a high more from last year and come out and start to score some 60s and 70s in the back end of the season.
I reckon he's handy cover nonetheless, even if he's just doing 40s and 50s. If you ever need it down the track, McDonald's going to play. And if you got that swing, a lot of people traded him out. Like, I traded him out. I don't know, it wasn't a lot of money, but I just needed some money. And, you know, he was out at the time, so I traded him. But, yeah, I think he'll be handy for the run home.
Well, the beauty is MRJ, Clark, McDonald and Pedler all have the mid-forward DPP, which means they're all interchangeable. If McDonald plays this week, I can loop and put Tiku on the ground at F6, and I can loop McDonald and Clark. Or if McDonald doesn't get named, unfortunately, I can't do MRJ this week because they're both playing in the same game. But I think the interchangeability, although they're not big scorers, that could come in useful. Clark, you've got to remember, his two games that he's played have been in wet conditions, and he's a dry weather player. So he hasn't had the ideal playing conditions. So I hope to God that he gets picked this week. So that's my side. I've got the seven trades. This is after doing the butters to Bontempelli. And you know, hopefully English gets back into the ruck. But I really want to orchestrate McCartan to Gawn as my next unforced trade. So that's what I need to get the funds for. Now, McCartan should be up over 400,000 shortly. I've done the calculations on Gawn. I think Gawn will probably sit about 575 when I want to bring him in. So I've got to find 175,000 to bring him in.
Yeah, but what if Gawn doesn't come for a while and McCartan scores 59 against next week and the week after? Like, are you content to just keep losing those points?
At this stage, yes, because I think having the trades in my pocket probably outweighs me losing those points, because I think as teams start to run out of trades, and that's if carnage occurs in the next 8 or 9 weeks, I think it will be more advantageous and I'll get more points by holding the trades rather than using the trades at this point in time. That's my strategy.
Yeah, fair
enough. What do you think? You're the numbers man.
I think you're in having seven trades at this time of the year. I think after you've already made one trade this week, I think that's a pretty good position to be in. I like your back line. I think your back line's stronger than mine. I think our midfield's probably break even a little bit. I'm not entirely fussed with having Tom Green at M8, but I guess you're probably the same with Zach Merritt.
Zach Merritt's a typical 100 average player, which you can probably get to a dozen of those. So pick and choose which one.
Yeah, I like Tom Green for his contested possessions, but which obviously score more, but he just doesn't seem to be carrying on with it this year. I mean, he was 68 at halftime on the weekend and he finished on 102. So he's only had the two really big games, which were at the start of the year, which was before I brought him in, which is a little bit frustrating. But I thought he was going to have a big breakout year this year, but maybe it's just a year too early for him.
I going back to this 50-game philosophy, I think we forget that in his second year, Tom Green?
Fourth year now.
Fourth year. How many games has he played? Has he played over the 50?
I'm just about to look that up. He'd be getting close. I know he got dropped last year. He's 37 games. There you go. 21. He was pick 10 in the 2019 draft. So 2020. So this is his third season.
He's still just a kid. Yeah. He's playing a very physical game. He's getting knocked around, and he looks a lot older than what he is. And eventually that's just got to take a toll.
He's tall for a midfielder. So
he's gonna be super coach royalty. I reckon next year he'll be one of the first blokes I pick.
Yeah, absolutely. He's probably, like I said, he's probably just a year, maybe a year too early. I mean, if I work on my theory of 22 years being the ideal age for a breakout, he's probably just a little bit under that. He's 21 years and 4 months at the moment, so he's probably just a little bit under that at the moment.
I'm not touching him. They've still got too many midfielders, and they're all a good age, and they're actually all like coming into their, you know, their physical prime. Cogs, Taranto, Kelly.
But you won't touch him next year?
Nah. No? I'd rather wait till he proved that he was 115 plus for a whole season. I just feel like I'm better off using that. Well, so like you're going to pick Tom Green at say 550,
yep,
instead of like a 600K or 650K like lead or something like that. Like,
correct. Yep.
No, not for me.
Yeah, my only worry with Tom Green for the rest of this year is the likelihood of Taranto coming back this week, and what that will do for him.
He's played in the VFL last week.
Yeah, Taranto did. Yeah, he smashed it. I think he had about 32 touches in the VFL.
So if he comes back, what position is he going to play?
It depends on who's coaching.
Well, the thing with Green is because he's such a big body, he's like really good in the forward line because he's like built like a brick shit house. He wins a lot of contested ball and he often has snaps of goal. Like he's kicked a fair few goals this year.
Like he has
really good goal sense. So the way the coach has been just playing players in their traditional positions, I wouldn't be surprised if Green spends a lot more time forward and then he just rolls in the midfield with Cogs and Taranto and Kelly. But
Next year, we've got a super coach player that thrives on the contest, gets contested possessions, and then rests forward and kicks goals. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better super coach player. And I don't care.
But it might still be a year too early or 2 years too early. I just think.
I think, Steve, if it's not Knox next year, it's probably never. In terms of him being super coach royalty, he'll be well north of 22 years old next year, fourth preseason. If he's not super coach royalty next year, it'll only be because he's not being played in his best position.
I totally agree.
I guess we'll see what happens with the coach in the preseason, but look, definitely one to watch. I mean, the thing is, he had such a good start to the year this year. That his average is going to be high. So he's going to be priced. Like, you know, obviously his 5-round average kind of thing, looking at his last few games, they're not that great. But his average is, he's close to 110 average. He's going to be bloody pricey next year.
Yeah, he's 108.3 at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, Steve, you know, not for your sake, Pinny, but
Steve, your
if
team?
He has a few stinkers, that'd be nice.
Steve, your team?
Yeah, so I'm just going to go over the last few spots on every line because the rest of my side is pretty stock standard and, you know, I've got a lot of the guns. So in defense, I have Short at D5 and Ridley at D6. Two very big concerns. Short is spending way too much time forward and on the wing and he can't hit a target. So that's not good. But look, I don't have the option to upgrade him, so he'll be sticking around. And Ridley,
Steve, I've said for on the board that his scoring suffered when Prestia came back. Prestia and Cochin both came back the same week, and from that very point, Short is instead of being number one or number two midfielder, he's been pushed to number three.
He's spent a lot of time on
half forward flank.
Even lower, Wayne, like I very rarely see him getting CBAs. He's been getting a shitload of wing time and, you know, time starting on the half forward flank. I find it interesting that when, you know, they threw him into the midfield out of necessity, he did quite well. I would have thought when all the players came back, they would have just slotted him back down back, but they haven't. They've just decided to commit to him as a midfielder and he's getting time on the wing. So, anyway, I'm stuck with him.
The last two rounds have both been in the wet, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't suit him. it suits the Cochins and the Prestias with the bigger bodies in the trenches. So if we start to get a couple of fine, you know, hard surfaces, let's see how it performs then. And particularly with Cochin being out, I don't know how long he's going to be out for, but that might be good news for short owners.
As somebody who's not fully in tune with AFL from being since I was a kid, I find it amazing that somebody like Short can hit targets really well coming out of defence, but can't hit targets anywhere else on the ground. I mean, it's around ground.
Yes,
it's that perceived pressure, even if it's not there. I think when you're in the midfield, you just feel like there's someone next to you, whether there is or there isn't. That's a lot of players. Like, I like using Treloar as an example for that. Like, everyone used to rip on him for his disposal efficiency. But the issue is at the Pies, he was like our number one ball winner. Mm-hmm. And that's actually comes, it's unnatural to him. He's an outside player. So when Treloar's running on a wing or something or kicking inside 15, he's got space and time. It's a beautiful kick and he's obviously a great runner and he's got pace. But at the Pies, you know, we had to turn him into our number one, number two ball getter with Adams because we had no other midfielders. So he was just, it's just a mindset change. And then he would just get the ball and just put it on his boot and just shank it every single time. Whereas like you see him the way he's playing at the Dogs, he's just such a better player because he's got these brutes giving him the ball and he's playing more on the outside. So I think it's the same thing. You know, when Short's playing in the back line, he's got all the time and space in the world to think about it. And then when he's going in the middle, whether the pressure's there or not, he's just constantly thinking about it. And then players make more mistakes. Like, but yeah, I don't know.
I've got him as well. I'm stuck with him for the end of, for the rest of the year. There's no point in trying to trade him out. If I had a luxury trade right now, it would probably be probably Tom Green to somebody like Rory Laird or Took Miller or something like that. But I'll just have to wait and see what happens over the next few weeks. I think after this week, I'll be trading this week. I'll be getting Parnell for De Koning, and then next week it'll be Gibkus for D'Ambrosio, assuming he makes it to the third game, and then after that, I think that'll leave me four trades, and they'll just be luxury upgrades from there, or injury trades. I think I'll just have to sit with what I've got.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people in that boat. Yeah, like, so yeah, Short at D5 and Ridley at D6. It is what it is. Hopefully Short can average 100. Hopefully Ridley can average 90, and we'll just deal with it. I brought in Cam Guthrie last week as kind of a point of difference, just with Geelong's fixture. I think he can go 110 easily with their fixture and a lot of home games, so I'm fine with that. Cripps' form is a bit of a worry, but yeah, played well. I think he got a little bit screwed by CD, to be honest. I was expecting a little bit more, but he had like 13 tackles or some ridiculous number. And then I got Cripps as well, so Cripps and Guthrie are rounding out my midfield line. I've got Darcy Parrish.
Cripps worries me. I think
he'll be fine. I think I think he just got screwed by CD and had a few costly turnovers. It's one of those things where, like, you know, the early clanger and then CD just punish him for the whole game with scoring. I think he was kind of back to that midfield role and he looked fine.
The interesting thing with Carlton, early season, there was a really good connection between Hewitt and Cripps. Hewitt was getting into the coalface, extracting the ball, and then he was passing the ball a lot to Cripps on the move. I'm not seeing anywhere near the same connection between the two players now. They seem to be playing very wide of each other. There's not a lot of passing going on between Hewitt and Cripps, and I think that's hurting Cripps. An observation. It could be true, could not be true, but
yeah, well, at least he's not in the ruck. That's the important thing for me. With McKay back, at least Silvani can go and help in the ruck, and Cripps is, you know, won't be playing as a bloody ruckman, so that'll be good.
Yep.
I've got Parrish as well. Amazing scoring, but that calf corky is a little bit of a concern. He's a test this week. We'll see what happens with that. Whitson Jackson in the ruck temporarily. And then up forward, I got Dunkley, Cogs, Cameron, English, and then I got Himmelberg, Butters, and DeGoey, and one of them is the F7. But yeah, if English was playing this week, probably would have kept Butters, but with him out and potentially Parrish out, I think I'm forced to trade. Yeah, I'm glad the goalie didn't get suspended. Hopefully he can bounce back this week. But I don't know, just with 10K in the bank, I don't really know. Like, it has to, I have to take a punt on somebody. And I'm actually leaning to Oscar McInerney.
Right.
I don't really know why.
What's his three-round average?
Well, his five round average is 100. And Darcy Fort, I believe, has just lost his spot. So he's going to go back to the number one ruck. Now, the issue last game is Fort was subbed on and played the entire last quarter. So McInerney, they went back to that double ruck system. So he lost a few points in the last quarter. Mind you, there was only four goals scored. So there was only four CBAs. But yeah, I don't know. I love my history with scoring and things like that. And he killed it last year. I think he ended the year averaging like 110 as a solo ruck. So, you know, I don't think they can play Darcy Fort with McStay, Danaher, and what's the other bloke's name? I forgot.
Yes.
The other big boy.
Yes.
Looks like Rafa Nadal.
Do you think that they're playing two rucks during the season to take the workload off McInerney, so he's primed for the finals? I can't see them taking two rucks the last 3 or 4 weeks of the season. I think they'll go into the finals with one ruck, and maybe they're just trying to manage his workload during the season, so he's primed for finals.
I reckon it was just the injuries because Hipwood's the one. Hipwood missed a shitload of time and Danaher missed a shitload of time, so they needed that extra tool. And then, I guess maybe preserving him as well came into the play. But, yeah, I don't know. At this point, I think I'm happy to roll the dice with somebody. Like, I could get Heaney, but, you know, they got an okay fixture. I don't know. He pisses me off, Heaney. I'd love to say he's on my never again list, but, I mean, I always say he's on my never again list and I never actually take my own advice. So I'm thinking of just backing myself here and avoiding Heaney and then rolling the dice on somebody like Big O.
I have never owned Heaney.
No.
Well, that means do you have a full head of hair, mate? Because that's a lot less stress for you.
No. I had him last year for the first time and never again.
Yeah, he looks good this year. Don't get me wrong. He had a full preseason. He's looking good. Look, I'm in that boat of, you know, a lot of people talk about Heaney getting midfield time, and I'm firmly in that position of Heaney should not be getting midfield time. You want him playing as a half forward and a forward. If he gets midfield time, he's too reckless, and he's a bit of he shanks it as well. Like, you know, just let him play as a half forward, kicking into the forward line, and let him kick goals, and he will average 100.
Yeah, the problem is with Heaney is. The only thing consistent about Heaney is his inconsistency. I think I saw something today on Twitter that suggests that if he scores one or less goal in a game, I think he averages about 81 points a game, whereas if he scores two or more goals in a game, he's averaging, I think, about 109 or something like that.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'd need to find it, but I thought that was quite stark. If he's not kicking goals, he's just not scoring.
Yeah.
And I mean, from the Swans, so I think from the Swans side of things, I can't see him ever being a regular midfielder, especially with the players that have got coming through. I think Chad Warner is going to be one that's going to be high on my watch list for next year, and so will Errol Goulden.
Warner was on my watch list for this year, but still not consistent enough.
Yeah, I actually had Warner in my round one team, and the only reason I had to swap him out was he actually missed round one because of COVID protocols.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's my side.
So you trade Butters and hold English?
Yeah. Oh, I'll hold English 100% because he's only 1 week and he's like, you know, what, the best scorer.
I still think there's a higher chance of English missing 2 weeks than one. Because he comes out of protocols the day that they're supposed to play Brisbane.
Yeah, I think somebody on Twitter said you're eligible to play on the 12th day.
That's correct, but that does, I mean, it all depends on how he's doing. I mean, he missed 4 weeks last year.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I can put it this way. If I trade English out, I'm never getting him back.
I'm not trading him either. I'm holding him, but it's just I'm not going to be banking on him playing against Brisbane in round 16, unfortunately. If he does, it'll be a nice bonus.
Well, Maybe I pick up Oscar McInerney and then he can ruck against Jackson and then Jordan Sweet and I can get back-to-back 140s.
So who's rucking for the Bulldogs this week?
Sweet, surely. Must be right.
Sweet? Yeah, he's doing okay.
Yeah, I'd say Sweet for sure. And then, you know, back up from one of those tools. Maybe Camus comes in as our second ruck, but I don't know.
And who's going to ruck for GWS? Keith?
Is Kieran Briggs still about?
I've got a feeling he might be injured because he didn't play in the twos.
Yeah. Keith did a pretty good job when he had to fill in last week.
Yeah, and he's very tall, so.
Yeah, he's over 200 centimetres.
Oh, he's well. I think he's like close to 210. He's a unit. He's a very
big boy. Keith?
Yeah.
Oh, gee. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's 204, but yeah.
Just looking at GWS injury list, Briggs is not on it, but I don't think he played in the twos last week.
Yeah, unsure. I mean, Darcy Cameron and Cox, you know, should do well then.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. Well, I think we've just about covered everything, haven't we?
Yep. I think it's good rundown. What are you guys hoping for this week? Any bounce backs, comebacks, big scores, left field?
I'm hoping that Merritt goes well against West Coast. Yeah, if he can't score against West Coast, there's no hope. I've got the Bulldogs against Hawthorn. I think the Hawks will probably tire a bit in the run home, so I'm expecting a big rebound by the Bulldogs. Brisbane Melbourne game is going to be a fantastic game. Carlton Fremantle is going to be a great game. Sydney St Kilda going to be a good game. The only game that's not half decent this round is North Melbourne and the Crows. That's going to be a snore fest.
Yeah, I think the Crows should rest Rory Laird this week.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for your time, Pin Crusher. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, Pin Crusher,
thank you very much for joining us.
A pleasure.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good round.
Don't forget the big freeze round. Get yourself a badge. If you've bought a beanie or donated, you haven't registered, go ahead and do that.
I'll still do that. I'll be doing that before the weekend for sure.
Fantastic stuff. See you guys.
All right. Good luck, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, guys.